Welcome to Live Well Anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. On this podcast, we journey together in learning how to feel healthy, look good, and plan lives we actually like in the midst of all the everyday chaos. I'm so glad you're here. And on today's episode, I have a return guest who I'm so excited about. It is the one and only Maequilyn Smith. She has a brand new book coming out called House Rules. It's just as fabulous and beautiful and funny. And I would say, as you will hear in this episode, very applicable to just like real life circumstances, in addition to decorating. It is maybe my favorite book that she's ever written. We had such a fun conversation. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. I do also want to mention that Maequilyn's new book, House Rules, comes out in a little less than a week. It comes out on April 23rd, so you still have a chance to get in there and get the pre-order bonuses. So if you order the book right now, it will show up on your doorstep on April 23rd, and you are going to want the hard copy of this because it's so pretty. And it's got so many great pictures. It's a book about decorating that you can decorate with. I mean, it's that pretty. So you're definitely going to want the actual hard copy version of this. And if you pre-order it in any format, you can also get special bonuses that she has available until the release date. So be sure to head over wherever you get books, order your copy, and then go to thenester.com/house rules to get in on those pre-order bonuses. But before we get into the actual episode, I want to mention that the next couple of weeks, it's going to be a little quiet on the podcast. We're taking a very short hiatus in order to focus a little bit more on YouTube. That's right, if you want to find me over the next couple of weeks, which I certainly hope that you do, and you tell all of your friends about it, you can find me over there at Mackenzie Coppa. I will be having all sorts of planning content and other fun things over on YouTube, which I would love for you to come join me. Share the link with your friends. And, you know, all that good stuff. It would really help me to get things rolling over there as I am trying to put a bigger push and a bigger emphasis on this whole YouTube journey. It's been something that I've been wanting to do for a really long time, and no more excuses. It is happening now. I've gotten a couple of videos out recently that I would love for you to go watch, and there's going to be just more and more content coming out over the next few weeks and then hopefully continuing into the future. So again, you can find me at Mackenzie Coppa on YouTube. I will have the link in the show notes so you can also find it really easily that way as well. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and I am really looking forward to really sinking my teeth into that platform and doing more over there as a way to be able to serve you guys better, get to know all of you, and deliver a lot of content that is hopefully going to be really practical and usable in your lives. So that's what you can be expecting over there, and I hope that you will join me. But without further ado, let's dive into this episode with Maequilyn Smith. Welcome, Maequilyn.
Oh my goodness, Mackenzie. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so happy to have you. This just dawned on me right as we were coming in, because you were saying before, like, I recognize you somehow. Well, the last time I interviewed you, I was living in my grandmother's basement. And that's right. We talked about how I even put up some artwork and whatnot, like, in this dingy, dungy basement to try to make it more lovely. And I found your book so inspiring. The last one that you wrote, remind me of the name.
It's fading from me. Welcome home.
Yes. And I remember reading it on my parents' front porch and just being absolutely in love with it and knowing that I was going to have a home that I was going to be able to decorate at some point. So since then, for me, I have that home. I've been living here for almost 5 years now, and I've been able to take so much of what you said, like when I got to move into my little town home and like put that into practice. So I have a real love for you because I do feel like your fingerprints are all over our house. So there's that. But as we're getting started, because I am absolutely in love with your brand new book, just as much as I am all the other books that you've written, but I would love for you to just reintroduce yourself to my audience so people make sure they know who you are.
Oh, I would love to. My name is Maequilyn Smith. I've been on the internet talking about home stuff since 2007. And when I started, not a lot of people share their names. So I went by The Nester. And also I have a weird name that's hard to pronounce. Yeah. So, you know, on Instagram or my website is The Nester. But I just love all things home. I believe that every home has a silver lining. And I'm an imperfectionist. And believe it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. And I'm also a cozy minimalist. I want the most amount of style with the least amount of stuff. I've been married almost 30 years. We have moved 15 times. I'm in my 15th
house.
It's
so crazy.
And we've got three like grown men boys.
Yes, which is something I actually do want to hit on today, because some of these things in this brand new book, House Rules, I actually really think that you could have renamed this book Life Rules. There were some times when I was reading this book where I was like, wait, is this Emily or is this Michael Lynn? Like, who am I hearing from here? Because this is very like, and you kind of hit on it in some of the chapters even, that it's about rules for decorating your home and everything, but a lot of these rules can apply to so many other areas of your life. And we're going to get into it later, but some of these things I specifically think of in like launching kids and like teaching them some of these skills as they're going out into the world, because that's obviously something that's really on the forefront of my mind right now. My son is about to turn 18. He's going to be a senior next year. And so we will get there. But I want to start with how this book even came to be, like why you decided to settle on 100 rules for decorating.
Right? I know. I mean, honestly, I don't even like rules. In one of Andrew Peterson's book, he says that he talks about like, you know, to creatives and artists, but he talks about how you have to earn the right to break the rules. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think knowing the rules of things gives us confidence, even if we ignore the rules. But we don't want to ignore the rules because we're stupid or because we don't know better.
Yeah.
We ignore the rules because we believe something is going to be better. And so I think that's the difference. And of course, in this book, all about rules, the very first rule is like, learn the rules and then break them beautifully, which again, applies to launching kids. It applies to your wardrobe. I agree. Like a lot of these rules just apply to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I like that you even talked about like knowing what your own rules are. I mean, you don't get to that till the end of the book, but there are certain things that, you know, you get to decide what works for you versus what works for other people. One specific one that I just absolutely loved was what you said about color. And you were like, I want something like, I'm not quoting this directly, you said it much better, but I want a beautiful life, or a life full of color. That's what it is. And a home full of neutrals. And I was like, thank you. Because I think we get like pressured to be colorful. I had my colors done. And I'm like, but wait, I wear like white and black, like as a rule. Why do I have to be colorful?
Mackenzie, I am the same way. I'm so afraid to have my colors done because they're going to tell me to wear giraffe. And I'm like, I don't like giraffe.
Yes.
I want to wear just black and white. And I think there is pressure of, I'll tell you what the pressure is. I feel like sometimes the pressure is if you're really a creative, you'll use bold colors. And that's the whole point, is that we get to do whatever we want in our house. It should be the one place where we do whatever we want. And so, yes, I, in the spirit of making your own house rules, like I want my life full of color, and I look out my window, there's all kinds of color, but I do like my wardrobe and I like my stuff in my house to be pretty interchangeable. I think that comes from moving a lot, and maybe you feel the same way with that. And it's not a hatred of color. I'll tell you what it is. It's almost the opposite. It's like, I love color. In the spring, I love teals and blues. And in the summer, I love pink and red. And in the fall, I love oranges and browns. And in the winter, I love silver and green. It's like I need to commit, which is another house rule, commit to low commitment color, because what I found was if it was springtime and I needed a piece of furniture and I let myself buy it in a color, you know where I'm going. I buy like a spring color. And then like 3 months later, I hate it because I would put all this commitment of like the current colors that I was craving into something that I needed to use in my home for the next 10 years. So now I have to remind myself, just get the pillow cover that's pink, not the sofa.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I think like this whole, I mean, and it's been something, been around for years and years, this idea of having your colors done. But doing that, and I love it for like making decisions about makeup, and if I am going to wear something of color, which is not very often, but that I know that it's going to work with my coloring. But I all of a sudden felt this pressure to make like everything in that color palette. And I like, luckily I didn't do too much with my house, but I tried to redo my website I was like, I'm now, you know, like 6 months into it. I'm like, I hate this. I hate this. Like, I like it neutral. Like, I just, and a friend of mine recently told me, you bring beige to life. I was like, I'll take that.
I think that's great. When you have me curious now, what season are you? What are your colors?
I'm a cool summer.
Okay.
So it's like pinks and blues and purples and like, and that's fine. I like those colors. I like them. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is like the place that I see it coming out in where I'm literally black and white head to toe. My house is very neutral, but I decorate my planner every week. I know that's so silly, but I put like washi tape and stickers and everything. And I use different pens and that looks like it's on crack with color. Like it is just everywhere. And that's like, it's this little contained space and I love it. And I love to open it up and have it be pretty, but then everything else I think feels calm around me. Yeah. And that's like the balance that I need.
I think there are some of us who, I mean, I think a lot of us women are, there's been studies done about clutter and about overstimulation of what we see visually. But I think for some of us, color in particular, you know, I think about all my kids' Legos when they were everywhere. Like I just crave like a quiet walls and quiet patterns and quiet textures.
Yes. Amen. Yes. So I loved when I got there and I was like, oh, thank you. Because I hear, like, I listen to all these other brilliant podcasters who are like, I just bought, you know, a neon green whatever. And I'm like, I just can't. And is something wrong with me? And you just validated. No, we can all have our own feelings about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it is tricky when you do what I do and you're teaching people about their home, because I think that for so long we're trained that in order for me to learn from you, I have to like your style. And it's not that at all.
Yeah.
Like we're not. Sometimes we do need an influencer to imitate. Like we want to know where did they buy the coffee table or the jeans. I think there's a place for that. It's immensely helpful. But then also sometimes we just need a teacher or a guide who's doing certain things with a mindset. I call it a mindset you can model. And so I definitely believe and hope that the things that I teach, whether you love color or pattern, whether you live in a brand new house or a really old house, whether you have, you're rich and you have a ton of money to spend on your house or you have no budget. Like I think the things that I teach are just universal and can help you and meet you where you are. That's the goal at least.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. And I love that you brought up that specific rule because that was one of the things that I had written down, this idea on advice. And who you're taking advice from, and that you have to be careful with that. And a big part of that is figuring out who to ignore. And that's one of those rules too, that I feel like for my kids, for and like in so many areas of your life, not just for decorating, you have to figure out like who you align with, not to copy. You're specific about that in that rule, but the people that you align with and it, the other voices don't have to matter. So I love that rule.
You're so true, because half of the problem, it's knowing what to do is great, but also knowing what not to do, knowing who to listen to is great. Or you could flip it and say, well, who do I at least know not to listen to? And I like to think of it as if I want to love my home and use my home, well, then I want to find a home guru who loves their home and uses their home. I follow a lot of fashion girls on YouTube. I don't dress like any of them, but the advice they give is so general. It's not, I'm not trying to copy their blouse. Like I'm trying to copy the way they think about putting their outfits together. And I almost think in some ways it's easier to learn from people like that, because then I am doing the work of applying it and it sticks.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. When you make it your own, it takes it to a different level of ownership that like you can actually keep using over time, not just for like that one-off thing.
Yeah.
Ladies, you know by now that I love and adore my AG1. I drink it every single morning because I know in my body I feel such a difference when I drink AG1. But I wanted to go into a little bit of the backstory with AG1 of just why I love it so much beyond how I feel every day. And a lot of that comes down to wanting to make sure that I'm taking the highest quality supplements. It really matters to me what's in there and what's not in there. You know what I mean? And I love that AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. I mean, they test for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for like 10. Plus, they're constantly innovating. They've had 52 iterations of their formula so far because they're always making sure they have the best source of things, and they're trying to aim for the most quality ingredients available. I feel like I'm in good hands with AG1 because they're always up-leveling everything that they're doing. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. Plus, taking care of my health shouldn't be one more complicated thing, you know? And AG1 simplifies this by replacing multiple health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and more in just one simple scoop. I can cover all of my nutritional bases in just 60 seconds, which is a game changer for me. Plus, all those prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes that they've got in there, I mean, it is some serious gut support. I feel so different. I feel like my whole system operates differently when I am drinking my AG1 consistently. And I love things like rhodiola and B vitamins that are in there for energy support. I don't drink caffeine because I have major like issues with it and it makes me all jittery and everything. So I need to be able to get energy in other ways. I love being able to get it from AG1 in a very natural and healthy way every morning. I feel ready for my day and focused when I've got that kind of support on board. I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and so much more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/livewell. That's drinkag1.com/livewell. Check it out. And that also brings me to, I'm trying to figure out which rule it was. I've got like all these crazy notes. Oh, it was back to rule 8, one sane space that you talk about. Along with this idea of who you listen to and like knowing it and knowing it for yourself, it's also the attitude that you go into a lot of these things with can make such a difference. Because you talk about if you're complaining the whole time that you're doing the renovations, you're not going to look forward to it the next time that you do it. Your family's going to be annoyed with you. And I think that that is something that we need to like think about in so many different areas of our lives.
Yes. Sometimes, you know, I run a community and it's mostly women, few men actively making changes in their home. And every now and then someone will join and they'll be like, well, my husband doesn't want me to do anything and he doesn't want me to make any changes. And a lot of times the first question is, well, what happened with the last change you made? And sometimes what happened was the husband was asked to contribute, like maybe paint a wall, and it didn't turn out. And so we, you know, the wife was sad or upset or, you know, I'm so bad at this. And so in love, he loves her. He wants to protect her from that. And so next time he's like, no, we're not doing this because it ends in sadness and that's not fun for any of us. So I think, you know, if you want to prove to your family that making changes in your home makes you happy, then when you make changes in your home, you have to be happy.
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, when I was reading that rule, it reminded me of when I went to summer camp when I was little, because I got into this. It was this amazing Missoula Children's Theater Performing Arts Camp. Went to for 7 years, but the first like maybe 3 years that I would write letters home, I was so homesick, and all the stuff I would write about like I miss my family and it was so hard without them. And it got to the point where my mom was like, "Do you even want to go? I mean, you seem like you hate this. Like, this seems like torture for you." And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I love camp. I love being there. So I started changing my letters. And really, I just stopped writing as much because I was having too much fun. But I was like, oh, I have to change
Yeah,
my mindset about it. Because if my family thinks I hate it, I'm not going to get to do this anymore.
Exactly. If you're making everyone's life miserable, including your own, then maybe you shouldn't be making changes in your home. But I don't think that's true. I think we sometimes we get stressed out about it, or we feel like we don't have the confidence, or we're not sure what to do. And so that's where people like me can come in, whether it's me or someone else you want to follow, who can encourage you in how to take little baby steps, even in risk. Like, I believe that home should be the safest place to take a risk. If not your home, then where? And to baby step your way into risk. Like, one of the things that we talk about is the fact that you can't ruin something you already hate. So instead of starting with that big wall that you have to get help with, or, you know, the dresser you're dragging out to the cul-de-sac and everyone in the neighborhood is walking by and commenting, like, what can you do in private? What can you practice with? Can you paint over the canvas or a piece of art or a little table that's in your garage, and then build your confidence from there?
Yeah, I love what you were saying about that in like terms of risk. Like, you take these small risks so that you can figure out what you even like to begin with and build on that. But then also this idea of taking risks. I read that rule like a couple of times because I think of it so much. I mean, this is where I'm going to bring it around to our boys and our kids in general. Like, when you're launching people, like, I think back to when I was being launched and there was so much like fear instilled in me of what might go wrong, and are you safe, and are you like, that I held back from doing so much that I would have done if I felt like it was safer to take some risks and try some things. And you talk about in that rule how important that one is specifically to instill in our children and our families and our friends, that we can take these risks, and how different our world would be if we were all, you know, taking some risks and making changes and having more wonder. What inspired you with that? Have you seen that happen with your kids as you've launched them? Like, take it bigger than the house for me.
Yeah. Well, the rule you're talking about is, it's called risk. Take some and pass it on. Because our kids are watching us. And I think this one came out of a frustration. I don't know why, but the risk for me, baby stepping risks was easy for me. I don't know why. I guess maybe just not a big deal to me to make a nail hole or paint a wall for whatever reason. But I would encounter women who that was a big deal. They would live in a house for 2 years, and sometimes it was their husband. Oh, I can't make a nail hole. Oh my gosh. And I just remember thinking, this is like, it's just insane. It would like make me mad. Like, how can you decorate your house and make your house a home if you can't even make a nail hole, if you can't pick a color, if our children who are watching us see us all angsty and worried about a $40 can of paint and a weekend of painting a room, and we act like it's the end of the world, how are we going to expect them to try out for the team, or, you know, do the job resume and take, like, we are baby stepping and practicing taking risks. And we want to show our kids and teach them that risk taking is a skill, and you can build it over time. And guess what? You make a nail hole in the wrong place, no big deal. Like, it, they're watching us for ourselves and for them. Let's just play it out and say, it's not a big deal. Whoops. Now, you know, I win or I learn, which is such a dude bro thing to say, but it's true. If you made, if you chose the wrong color, well, now you know a color you don't like. And I think the difference between people who are confidently making decisions in their home and people who aren't is not that the people who are doing it perfect. It's that when they do it imperfect, it doesn't stop them from continuing to move forward.
Yeah. I love that. I think it's so, so important in anything we're doing, that we decide to take those risks, to do the thing and try the thing. Because if you don't ever, you, the only thing you know is you will not get anywhere. That nothing will change.
Exactly.
It's going to keep on being the same way it's been. And so that's the price that you have to pay. But so much more of the time, it is worth it to do that and to take those really, and doesn't have to be those really big swings, but if you can build up to those bigger swings that are going to make like big changes in your life, I just think that I feel like one of the biggest things that I want for my oldest going out into the world, like, do it. Take this chance to go after what you want to go after, because it's going to be so much more worth it than you 20 years from now looking back and saying, I wish I would have taken the chance.
I'm sure that you have instilled that in them just because out of the way, just because you're aware of it and the how passionately you're talking about that. And I agree, like that's one of our main jobs as parents is just those life skills. And we forget that even in the little everyday dumb things that we're doing, we're modeling how to do things like that.
Yeah. And I think we oftentimes disregard the small things as like not really having that much of an impact. But like you're saying, just in the way that you're decorating your home, you can be teaching your kids these life lessons for what they're going to do. And you talk about that also with inspiration, that we kind of dumb down or don't put inspiration sort of on the pedestal that it should be on, or that it's, you know, a luxury to have inspiration, but you actually devote, at least from what I read, because I don't have the full copy, but from what I read, there were at least two rules that pertain to inspiration and it being the real fuel.
I think it is. You know, I think there's different kinds of motivation. Like if you know you're putting your house on the market, that's a type of motivation. Or if you know that you're having company, and those are great motivations. They really get us into action. But in a way, it's almost like a negative consequence motivation. But there's another kind of really pure motivation. And I think that's inspiration. I believe that inspiration leads to motivation. And so if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling kind of hopeless, if you just blah, I think one of the best things you can do is find a way to be inspired. And, you know, I teach all kinds of different ways. You can Google it. There's all different types of ways to be inspired. And we are all inspired in different ways. Some of us, it's visually. Some of us like to go to antique malls and walk around. Sometimes maybe you're watching old movies that are showing homes or that show artists or documentaries. Or, I mean, I can remember one time watching an episode of Dancing with the Stars, and it was like the most inspiring thing ever. I don't know why. Think about the last time you were inspired and what inspires you. And if you are in a place where you need to be making progress and something creative, instead of focusing on that, just decide that your job is to be inspired and then let everything else flow.
I love this idea. I feel like I've been encountering it in so many different places lately. And it's something that, you know, I think you even say in the book, like we often feel like we don't have the time. We don't have the time to do the inspiration work because we've got to get the stuff done. But really, if we aren't doing that, we're not going to be able to get the thing done. And so I've really been trying to press into like those more creative outlets and whatnot, because like kind of coming to terms with, I have a creative job that requires needing that fuel to work from. I'm curious, what are like your specific favorite ways to get inspired?
I think my favorite ways to get inspired, one is to watch other creatives do their work. That could be like right now, I just bought Erin French, The Lost Kitchen, her new book, It's Your Heart, Little Stove. She's got a show on the Magnolia Network called The Lost Kitchen. Mm-hmm. She's cooking food. I'm decorating. But to see her face issues, to see even how she decorates her restaurant, to see how she has to, oh no, this is not available. What am I going to do? Like she's coming up with creative solutions. To watch another creative person doing their work is extremely inspiring to me. Being in other people's homes, especially seeing homes in other countries, is extremely inspiring. So if I can watch like House Hunters International, I know that sounds so dumb, but it just, it gets us outside of like seeing the same old house down the street or on Zillow or, you know, on Instagram, like, oh, wow, look how they did that. Look at that pattern they have. I think that's very inspiring. What about for you?
Oh, that's a tricky one. Well, I guess I'm usually asking the questions. I love that you asked me something. I think lately, and it's interesting because like you're saying, you're watching somebody who does food, you're not doing food, but it still feeds your work. I have found a couple of artists on Instagram who paint and use chalk pastels. And that's something that I'm doing like on the side for fun, but engaging in that creative process, seeing how they're doing it and they're putting together colors. And I really love with this one specific girl that I follow. I think it's Katie's canvases or something like that. I'll put it in the show notes for people. But she just keeps adding to the canvas until she gets it to the place that she likes. And I call her the modern day female Bob Ross because she's hilarious. She does like these little voiceovers over her reels and she puts out a new one every day. And she'll be like, I really was liking this thing over there. And then I put this color on and then I realized I really hated it. But then I just kept doing it and I kept putting on more stuff until I got to the point where I liked it. And that is so inspiring to me to just keep going. Like if you don't like it, that means it's not done yet. It doesn't mean that you messed it up. It doesn't mean you did a bad job. You just need to keep adding. And I find that really inspiring.
Oh, yeah. That's a good word. That is excellent.
Yeah. So yeah, that's where I've been going to lately.
No, I want to see, we all are like, give us Katie's Instagram.
Right. I know. I can't believe I don't have it written down here. I will find it by the time we're done here, because she's so fun and she's just so funny too, which is helpful. I think that's another one. I love humor. I find humor to be really inspiring, and people who just like, don't take things too seriously. Yeah.
I completely agree. Like this lightheartedness. I think even in our homes, again, I see the world through off-colored glasses. So I'm always like, oh yeah, that has to do with our house too. But really when we, no one's really comfortable in a formal house. And so when we can add that layer of joy, I call it adding a spoonful of sugar, adding a layer of like joy or unexpected, or the house that we live in now is actually, it's kind of a formal house. It's a Queen Anne Victorian. It's got formal rooms. It's got like molding and it can feel super fancy. And so I have to kind of work extra hard at the opposite because it's about kind of bringing balance into your home. And so I can get unusual wall art. I can get bigger taxidermy. I can get more out of the box things. Because I want it to be like a super comfortable, down-to-earth house that doesn't take herself too seriously. And in design, everything is about relationship and balance. So I want to balance this formal girl out, you know, with we're like super casual people. I'm barefoot right now. I have ripped jeans on. So, you know, I have to think about that as I bring things into my home.
Well, and I love even what you said you did with those curtains that were in the house when you got it, that they were all formal. And then, do you want to just talk about that? Because I really loved the way they turned out.
I would love to, yes. So when we moved to this house, the owners had gorgeous window treatments, like custom made, that were hanging in the dining room. And they're like taffeta and I can barely lift one panel. They're like 25 pounds. They're like, Queen Victoria wore these as a dress. But they're very close to one of, I call it my personal neutral color. Like how we were talking about colors. I have a couple colors I always use in my home. And one is this kind of muddy robin's egg blue green color. And these drapes were very close, but they were real shiny. And I couldn't figure out at first, cause I'm like, I want to keep the drapes there. I know they cost a lot of money and they are very beautiful, but they didn't quite feel like us because they felt really formal. And so once I pinpointed the problem, then I was like, okay, now I can come up with a solution. The problem is not that I don't like the drapes, but they feel too formal. How can I make them feel less formal? And then I thought, well, what's formal about them? It's that shiny fabric. So then I thought, well, what if I added a trim on the edge that felt the opposite of shiny fabric? So I was like, what would feel the opposite? Maybe something, sometimes scale can be felt as playful. So I had this piece of garland that I bought on Amazon. It was technically like a Christmas garland, but it had like 6-inch rustic cotton tassels that were kind of like half crazy falling apart. They all look like they have a crazy bedhead. And I put this, I just kind of held it up against the beautiful fancy drapes and it did the trick. Like it balanced it out. So I bought enough of those to line both the insides. And now it's this perfect harmony of these fancy drapes married to this fringe garland that's super casual, really rustic, cotton, imperfect. And it did the trick. And now I have a balanced out family room or dining room.
Yeah. Well, and when you're writing about it, you're like, what? And then you look at the picture and it's like, that's brilliant. And it's so fun, but still like looks amazing. And I love seeing the way that you use that kind of juxtaposition to bring in that whimsy, but still have it be grounded. It's just, it's gorgeous as always. That's your job.
I think that when we accept our limitations, because could I have said, forget it, I'm just going to buy drapes on Amazon. I'm going to buy drapes from Two Pages or Ballard Designer. I so could have. But I think sometimes if we are willing to press through, the best solutions come when we accept some limits and we say, let me dare myself to try to make this work. And I'm so glad I did. And it was partly because I'm like, these are like the nicest drapes I've ever seen in my life. So I challenged myself to keep them. And yes, it took like 6 months before I could figure it out. But I think a lot of the best places in any of our homes are maybe those quirky places that we might have wished away at first, those limitations. I call them lovely limitations, because a lot of times they force us to get creative. And then we end up with a solution that's so much better than we would have come up with if we hadn't had that weird situation to start with.
Yeah, I love that. And you have so much of that wisdom just sprinkled all the way throughout this book. Ladies, we are going to take a quick second to hear from one of today's sponsors, and that is Plan to Eat. Now, as you probably know, Plan to Eat has been a longtime sponsor of the podcast, and that's because they're amazing and I love them. I have been using Plan to Eat for going on 10 years now, you guys. That doesn't even seem possible, but it is true. And this app and website is truly a lifesaver to me because I get very flustered when I don't know what we're eating, when my kids start asking me that question in the afternoon, if I don't have a plan. That is so anxiety inducing for me. And then also trying to go to the grocery store without having a plan, that just feels negligent. It just feels crazy to me. I don't know how people do it. I need to know exactly what it is that I need to buy so that I don't forget anything. And also, it helps me to know that I'm getting things from the cheapest stores possible. And their app is so slick. I lately have kind of been getting in a pinch as we have been very busy, to the point where I will actually get to Trader Joe's and I will do my planning in the car really quickly, because you can plan as quickly on their app as you can on the website. So I'll do that in the parking lot really fast. And then it automatically populates my shopping list with not only the aisles of the store that you need to get the ingredients in, but also the store that you most commonly buy those ingredients at. I love this feature. It makes life so simple for me. And I've also really been taking advantage of the menus lately. As life gets crazier, it's that end of the year push, you know, when there's so much going on. It is so helpful to me to be able to just drag and drop a menu straight onto my planner without really having to use any brain work whatsoever, because I've already created menus that I know work for our crazy schedule, and it just takes so much of the work out of it for me. There are so many features to Plan to Eat. They've left no stone unturned when it comes to planning your meals. Whether you need to keep track of what you have in your freezer, you want to make a queue of different recipes that your family wants to eat, or you just simply want to be able to upload recipes really easily into your planner, they've got you covered. And if you go to plantoeat.com/livewell, you can try it completely free for 30 days. That'll give you a chance to really get in there, get your feet wet, try out this planning software that I think is game changing. And then when you fall in love with it, because I trust that you will as much as I have, you can get 30% off a yearly subscription. So again, head over to plantoeat.com/livewell. Through that link, you can also become friends with me so we can share recipes and menus and all that good stuff. And you can get that 30 days free and 30% off a yearly subscription. You're not going to regret it. Go run over there right now and try Plan to Eat. So now my question is, in writing this book, and you're faced with this task of coming up with 100 rules, and like, what was your actual writing process like for this? Because it's so interesting how it's laid out, and it fits, you know, one per page. And like, what was your writing process this time?
The easiest book I've ever written, because I am a teacher. I teach decorating. Yeah. I have a private community with 4,500 women in it. I teach every week. And the goal of a teacher is to help people remember things, to teach it succinctly, simply, so that they can go apply it. And as I was writing my other books, my last book had just come out, and I read the book Essentialism and Effortless. And I was like, how can I make teaching this so effortless? How can it be memorable? How can it be simple? How can it be super applicable? And then I thought, I need to teach these truths super simple, almost like a devotion where you like for the day and you can get up and you're like, okay, I've got it. So I sat in my office one night, it's like November 19th, 2019 or something. And I wrote 100 house rules out right then. Just the titles. Wow. Cause I knew what they were. I've been teaching this. This is not new stuff. Yeah. You have to come up with new ones. I just had to come up with the right way to say it. You know, limitations lead to innovations. I'll just read a couple because that's add a temporary mix to the fix. Like it's the way that you say it that helps you remember so that you can do it. Find your own timeless classics. Every home has a silver lining. Like it's one thing to have a rule. It's another thing to know what it means and to remember it. And my goal is for someone to be stuck in their home, to read a house rule and look up and be like, oh my gosh, all I have to do is switch this vase with that vase and look at how it looks stunning. And now I can go help my neighbor with her house and I can go do the fellowship hall at church because I understand the universal decorating truths that apply to any home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I feel like you build on every book that you've written. So it's just, it's worked so beautifully. So many of those just like balance of your, I remember specifically in one of your last books, like saying like how big your artwork needed to be. And that was such a revelation. And when I moved here, I was like specifically looking, okay, this is how big my couch is. And that, so that's how much I need to fill up this wall. And so I love that you just distill it down and you make it so simple in that way. So that, like you said, everybody can figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So I'm going to transition a little bit and kind of get us into the ending here. I would love to hear what a typical day looks like for you.
Oh, well, it depends on the day of the week. So I run, this has been so helpful for me. Every Monday looks the same. Every Tuesday looks the same as every Tuesday. Every Wednesday. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So on
yeah.
Monday, I always, I wake up early. My husband and I will walk and do stuff like that. But when I work, I always write my email to my email list every Monday. So I have 100,000 people on my email list. That's like probably to me, it's the most important work that I do besides book writing because I feel like I get to communicate directly into the inbox of the people who trust me. And I do not take that lightly. I have a 50% open rate, which I work really hard for. I want everyone to be rewarded. I want everyone to be encouraged. And I feel like there are four or five types of people that listen to me. They are people currently living with imperfect circumstances. They are people who are actively making design decisions in their home. They are people decorating for the season or they're people hosting. So all of those, I try to make sure in every single email that I send out that I have something for each of those people to encourage them wherever they are.
That idea.
If you don't know where you are, I even have like a free quiz you can take. I can give you the link to that later if you're like, what, where am I? Because I think we all think if I just knew my style, then I would know what to do. But that's actually not true. You need to know your approach and you need to know what era you're in. And then that helps you kind of know who to listen to and who to ignore for now. So I help people do that. Mondays, I write the email and then I have a meeting with my assistant. Every Tuesday, I teach in my private community. So I wake up and like right now we're doing a month of wall art. So this week I got to teach on unconventional wall art. So it's not anything that you can buy like in a frame from the store. So we talked about plate walls and we talked about, you know, the christening gown hanging up and taxidermy, like all, I showed like 50 different examples. We have a Pinterest board. People are sharing their unconventional wall art. So we have a month on wall art. So I will get up at 9 o'clock. I create the slideshow and then I'm done at noon and I teach it at noon. And then I'm usually like exhausted for the day. Wednesdays, I'm either writing, now I'm writing my podcast episodes. Thursday, I record those unless I have a podcast day like this. And then Fridays, sometimes I take off.
Nice. So that was a really great. I have a little bit more flexibility. Certain days I do have things, but because I'm a voice actor as well, and that has a lot of flux to it. Mm-hmm. So it's like some days I've got 15 scripts that I need to record and edit and get out. And then I'm working on audiobooks. And so there's a little bit more like, I don't know what's going to come from day to day. So some things are set and then some things I just have to kind of like move around for sure.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. One last question. What is one little thing that you do to live well anyway? Just something that makes you feel taken care of in all the chaos of life.
Oh, every night I take a bubble bath and I read fiction. So I'm a subscriber to Book of the Month, and I have a clawfoot tub. I'm like, this is amazing. It's 100 years old, came with the house. I have never taken a shower in our shower. I bought one of those handheld. So that's how I wash my hair. Sit down. It's so luxurious. And then I have a metal thing that holds my books up. And I don't have a library card. I don't get books from the library because I need to be able to ruin my books with water. They fall in the bath or they get water. And so I just give them to the Goodwill when I'm done reading. But I read for an hour every night in my bathtub. I read fiction and it's the best.
Yes. Oh, I love that. That's so good. I take a bath almost every night too. And there's just something about it. And people always are like, oh, I don't have time for that. I literally take like a 10 or 15 minute bath. And it's like, but I feel like I've taken care of myself and it feels amazing. So, and then I keep reading all the health benefits. I'm like, look, I'm just doing this for my health.
Oh, I didn't even know. That's excellent.
Yeah. It's like having a lymphatic massage. They say, like the pressure of the water and the heat. Yeah. I know. Look at you doing it and you didn't even know. Yeah. Well, Michaelyn, thank you so much for coming on today. It's another brilliant book from you. I love your conversational style. I'm so excited to see the finished copy because, as always, your books are not just like beautifully worded, but they are showpieces in and of themselves. So well done. Another fabulous work from you.
Thank you so much. It's so fun to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we were able to make it work. All right, ladies, that is it for this week's episode. As always, you can find the show notes by going to mackenziekoppa.com and clicking on podcast, or you can swipe up in whatever app you are listening to the podcast on, and you'll be able to find all the show notes there, including the link to my YouTube channel, which is, of course, where you'll be able to find me over these next couple of weeks before the podcast comes back. And when it does come back, the first full week of May, you can be expecting to hear a really fun episode with my friend Lisa Jo Baker about her brand new memoir. It wasn't roaring, it was weeping. It is so good, and I can't wait for you guys to hear that episode. But until then, ladies, go be bold and gracious.